The Obama administration has unveiled its international cybersecurity strategy that took place at a White House event yesterday. The strategy says the U.S. hopes to achieve its vision of cyberspace through three Ds: diplomacy, defense, and development. Alan Paller is the vice president for research at the SANS Institute. He was on hand for the White House's announcement, and he joins us live in studio to help us read between the lines. Mr. Paller, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Tom.
So you were there. What was your overall impression of this strategy rollout? You said some of the people that were there made it impressive.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen so many people in the audience, even at a White House briefing, grabbing their iPhones and taking pictures. What shocked me about it was the star quality of the people actually giving the announcement. It was Hillary Clinton herself there. It was Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States. It was Bill Lynn, the Deputy Secretary of Defense. Those aren't the usual suspects. Those aren't the people you see at a cyber announcement.
Now, I downloaded the document yesterday afternoon, and it's only 30 pages.
I'm sure you memorized it.
Well, just about. And after you subtract the blank pages and the table of contents, it's not that long. It's not a difficult document. But what I found it to be was very broad on vision for what kind of a nirvana for the internet could be, but not very much in the way of specifics. So do you believe that it advances cybersecurity in a meaningful way?
You point out a problem with strategies that often happens, that they sometimes are plans to do plans. In this case, I think there's a big change. And I think that this marks a redirection of national activity that comes from the strategy. And the change is that we built the internet. And for a long time, a lot of people thought of it as an American internet, and everyone else was a guest. And what happened over the last 10 years is that other nations said, well, we depend on it too, and started to take over the international governance of it. So when you go away to meetings about what the future of the internet should be, they aren't Americans talking. There are people from other nations. So what this said is it's no longer our internet. We have to engage with other countries if we want to play a major role in shaping the future of the internet.
So that sounds as if they are just acknowledging something that started really under the Clinton administration when ICON was created, and they are an international body. Really, their meetings are in Nairobi and Budapest and all over the world. Very rarely in New York do they have their full international meetings. So the internationalization of internet governance has been going on for a good 10, 12 years. Do you think that's why they're getting around to acknowledging this?
I think that they are getting around to acknowledging it because they are seeing how badly they've mismanaged it. I think that they've sent people to these international standards organizations, and I've been to some of them, where the person will stand up. They may be paid by the federal government. They'll stand up and say, I'm just speaking for myself. And then they'll go off in these strange directions that have nothing to do with national interests or even interest in the internet. It's just their sort of personal interest. There's been no cohesive look at what we should be doing. And I think what was most impressive also about this announcement, and I think it was what brought Hillary Clinton to it, was that this wasn't about we need to govern the internet more effectively. I think what really was happening here was that we were saying this is the kind of internet we want to have. We want to have an open internet. We don't want nations to use the internet to lock their people in. We want it to be a method of free expression. It was where we want the internet to be, and it was useful to put it out there.
Now, I was reading just a couple weeks ago, as I'm sure you were, the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, the NSTIC, came out. And the central theme of that was we've got to get past the old username password paradigm that's really failed and created what they called an ecosystem of cybersecurity tools and technologies so people can be safe on the internet. That was their kind of secret sauce in the NSTIC, was replacement of passwords with this new ecosystem, again, yet to be developed. What do you think is the secret sauce, the controlling idea in this international strategy?
I think it's a stake in the ground that says, if you're going to use the internet to shackle your people, you're not our friend. We're going to gather all of the nations of the world who want freedom and open expression, and they want an internet that can be an enabler of commerce and an enabler of freedoms to join together. It's a big goal. Not clear that the actions that will be taken will actually bring that about, especially given the challenge of the saber rattling that's going on at the same time. So other nations say, well, you talk that way, but then you're talking about the U.S. Cyber Command. And I think the great question will be, how do we play out as this the top military power, this projecting power in cyberspace, at the same time we're saying we want a free and open internet? I think I see a path through that maze, but it's going to be a tough one.
We're speaking with Alan Paller, the Vice President for Research at the SANS Institute. That's right. It stops short of saying that we would use cyber counterattack, because I looked for that throughout the document, and they said almost everything but that central word. At the same time, they said collaboration with other countries, mutual development, words like that occur throughout it. So then the dichotomy becomes, as you mentioned, how do we lead and yet not lead? So maybe there's a built-in contradiction here.
You pointed out that one of the places where I was looking for a fourth bullet. Under military, they had recognize and adapt the military's increasing need for reliable and secure networks. That's defense. They had build and enhance existing military alliances. That's let's work together. They had expand cyberspace cooperation, but they didn't have and use cyber power where necessary. But it was there, too, because there are sections that talk about all necessary means. So it was there. And I talked to some of the military leaders afterwards, and they said they were involved in the discussions right from the beginning. It's a very open process. And I think we have a balance we have to draw between the military and our goals of an open internet. And I think it comes down to phenomenally successfully leading by example. I think that's the great failure of the federal government, is that it hasn't led by example. It talked about security. It talked about what other people should do, but its own systems weren't well managed from a security perspective. And that transformation has to happen before we can tell other nations what to do.
And is there a sense of what Russia, how they might react to this, or places like Nigeria? And then there's the regular countries like France and Great Britain. So are we likely to get a range of reactions to this?
I think there will be a let's wait and see reaction from most countries. Russia has been pushing for disarmament in cyberspace. They've been the primary pusher, and we ignored them until last summer. We've begun to engage. I think now people who've been trying to engage with Russia about that topic will feel they have backing from the White House and from the cabinet.
And was there anything said yesterday about follow-on action? Now that they've released this and said great things about it with all the top officials, do they say what they're going to do on day two?
They said this is a beginning.
All right.
No is the answer. This is a strategy. The how it gets carried out is the great question. The devil is in the details.